Fascism and Religion by Robert Best. A great amount of rubbish and lies have been written on the subject of fascism's relationship to religion. The liberal elite, the controlled media, and the atheist left like to claim that both fascism and National Socialism were anti-Christian and that they persecuted religion. Well, what are the facts? This podcast aims to pinpoint the truth and counter the lies on this important subject. Most European fascists were Christian, although in the Arab and Muslim world, there were also the Egyptian Green Shirts and the Syrian Social Nationalist Party. Modern nationalist groups have the support of a minority of pagans, such as Odinists, but the majority are still Christian. Most fascists adhered to the largest Christian denomination, the Roman Catholic Church, especially in Italy, Spain, Belgium, Ireland, Austria, and so on. However, the Spanish Falangists, under the leadership of José Antonio Primo de Rivera, while being faithful Catholics, were opposed to reactionary clericalism. Fascist Italy and National Socialist Germany both made concordats, or agreements, with the Catholic Church. The Romanian Iron Guard, also known as the Legion of St. Michael the Archangel, were mostly Orthodox. The American Silver Shirts drew its support from white Anglo-Saxon Protestants. Most British fascists were Church of England. While most members of Sir Oswald Mosley's British Union of Fascists were Anglicans or other Protestants, many were also practicing Catholics, including A.K. Chesterton, Brian Donovan, Roy Campbell, Geoffrey Hamm, and John Charnley. Geoffrey Hamm used to invite some dignitaries of the Catholic Church to post-war Union Movement meetings. Catholic priests, such as Father Brocard Sewell, wrote articles for Geoffrey Hamm's Lodestar magazine. Catholicism had developed a social and economic theory requiring action on the political plane, and many Catholics saw in the Mosley movement's spiritual values for service and the values of the spirit are the essence of fascism. You find in fascism, taken from Christianity, policies that corresponded closest to their social ideals. Catholicism stood for a third way between communism and capitalism. The BUF newspaper, The Black Shirt, of May 17, 1935, reported that 12% of leading BUF officials were Catholics, a substantially higher proportion than the Catholic percentage in the general population of the country. In the 1930s, the Catholic newspapers, the Catholic Herald and the Tablet, were among the few journals that reported Mosley and the British Union sympathetically. The Catholic Herald of June 10, 1938, wrote that British Union policy is the nearest approach to the social theory of the encyclicals that we have yet been offered by any prominent political party. The Catholic solution to the social problem, proclaimed by Pope Leo XIII in his encyclical Rerum Novarum of 1891 and expanded in England by Hilary Belloc and G.K. Chesterton, entailed the widest possible distribution of property. Rejecting class warfare, it favoured a cooperative system modelled on ancient guilds. Catholics and other Christians, as the eminent Father C.C. Martindale, S.J. explained in Action in November 1938, found a British Union preferable to atheistic, materialistic Marxism, as the BUF stood for complete religious toleration. Many Irish Catholics joined the British Union and Union movement. the Moseley movement could count on the support of several vicars and priests, such as Reverend H.E.B. Nye, whose vicarage windows were smashed by Reds, inspired by the communist church burners and murderers of priests and nuns in Spain and Russia. In the book Fascism, 100 Questions Asked and Answered, Moseley stated British fascism's attitude to religion. Quote, "We believe in complete religious toleration. All shall be free, either to worship as they wish or to keep their religion to themselves. The fascist attitude is well summarized by the Christian precept, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. We are concerned with the business of the nation, not with the business of religion. None of the great religions preach the subversion of the state, and therefore they have no conflict with fascism. On the contrary, we welcome religion which inculcates a sense of service and of spiritual values, for service and the values of the spirit are the essence of fascism. You find in fascism, taken from Christianity, taken directly from the Christian conception, the immense vision of service, of self-abnegation, of self-sacrifice, in the cause of others, in the cause of the world, in the cause of your country, not the elimination of the individual, so much as the fusion of the individual, in something far greater than himself, and you have that basic doctrine of fascism. Service, self-sacrifice, to which the fascist must conceive to be the greatest cause and the greatest impulse in the world." Close quote. In his essay, entitled The Doctrine of Higher Forms, Moseley wrote that government should support the work of the churches, and that the purpose of life was a movement from lower to higher and finer forms of life. He believed it was logical to believe in the existence of God, as the universe was too complex to have come about by chance. Many Christians supported Moseley's campaign for peace in the 1930s and pointed to Christ's teaching, "Blessed are the peacemakers." Hitler, while being baptized a Catholic, came to support the establishment of a German church independent of Rome and endorsed the work of the German Christian movement. Germany was a nation of 46 million evangelical Lutheran Protestants and 30 million Roman Catholics. In Mein Kampf, Hitler summed up the attitude of the National Socialist German Workers' Party to both confessions. Quote, "In the ranks of our movement, the most loyal Catholic must be able to sit side by side with the most loyal Protestant, without either of them having to suffer the smallest conflict of conscience with his religious conviction." Close quote. The 24th point of the National Socialist Party program, which was never rescinded, stated, quote, "The party, as such, stands for positive Christianity, but does not bind itself in the matter of creed to any particular confession. It combats the Jewish materialist spirit within us and without us, and is convinced that our nation can only achieve permanent health from within on the principle, the common interest before self." Close quote. It is true that there was a small pagan element in National Socialist Germany, but it was never officially endorsed by Hitler, who stated that he and the Fatherland were Christian. Quote, "It is Christians, and not international atheists, who now stand at the head of Germany. I do not merely talk of Christianity. No, I also profess that I will never ally myself with the parties which destroy Christianity. We wish to fill our culture once more with the spirit of Christianity, but not only in theory. Close quote. The faith of positive Christianity, as professed by the National Socialists, held that Jesus Christ was an Aryan and not a Jew. Quote, "It is a tragedy of the Germanic world that Jesus was Judaized, distorted, falsified, and an alien Asiatic spirit was forced upon us. That is a crime that we must repair. The Jew's life is of this world only, and his mentality is as foreign to the true spirit of Christianity as his character was foreign to the great founder of this new creed 2,000 years ago. And the founder of Christianity made no secret indeed of his estimation of the Jewish people. When he found it necessary, he drove those enemies of the human race out of the temple of God, because then, as always, they used religion as a means of advancing their commercial interests. But at that time, Christ was nailed to the cross for his attitude towards the Jews, whereas our modern Christians enter into party politics, and when elections are being held, they debase themselves to beg for Jewish votes. They even enter into political intrigues with the atheistic Jewish parties against the interests of their own Christian nation. The Mosaic religion is nothing more than a doctrine for preserving the Jewish race." Christian National Socialists generally used only the New Testament and pointed to the fact that in the Gospel of St. John, the Book of Acts, and Thessalonians, the Jews threatened to kill Jesus and persecuted the apostles and disciples after demanding Christ's crucifixion. The Third Reich had respect for the great religions of the world, and there were Muslim, Bosnian and Arab and Hindu Indian volunteer legions in the Waffen-SS, the Hanshar Division, Free Arab Legion and Free Indian Legion fought against communism alongside the Germans and other Europeans. As to the charge of Nazi persecution of Christians, the fact is that the National Socialists did not interfere with the churches, so long as they did not subvert the state. The German government only arrested and imprisoned those clerics who were disloyal to the country, which was only a tiny minority. Many priests and pastors enthusiastically supported the regime. The National Socialist government built more churches than any other government in German history, a fact that is ignored and suppressed today. Fascism was pro-religion. The fascist creed supported religion. It did not attack it. The enemies of religion were and are the atheistic and materialistic Marxists who murdered tens of millions of Christians. Fascism has a lot in common with Christianity. It is pro-life and supports the institution of marriage and the family. Zionists and neoconservatives have coined the term Islamo-fascism to repress the Palestinian nationalists' struggle for freedom. The National Action Party, or Grey Wolves of Muslim Turkey, are opposed to immigration and communism. Hindu nationalists of the BJP and the Shiv Sena Party teach love and respect for animals and plants as part of their life-centered creed. In the Bible, the word nation is used hundreds of times, and national patriotism is implicit in the scriptures. Both the Bible and the Quran condemn usury and prescribe capital punishment for murder. However, many clerics are today ignorant on the race question and are hostile to fascism and nationalism. The Bible, in fact, teaches the separation of the races of mankind created by God. The Creator commanded the ancient peoples to keep separate, and so it should be for the white, black, brown, yellow, and red races of the earth today. King Akhenaten of ancient Egypt, founder of the solar religion of the sun disk, advocated racial segregation. Separate development was taught by the Dutch Reformed Church of South Africa, and some churches in America continue to preach the truth. The Archbishop of Canterbury, when he returned from South Africa in 1953, said of apartheid, "If it were entire separation, two separate countries with separate cultures and customs and governments, there would be much to be said for it." The message of Fatima, when the Virgin Mary is said to have appeared in Portugal in 1917, was specifically anti-communist and anti-Masonic, and the nation became blessed under the subsequent enlightened leadership of Salazar, the Portuguese fascist corporatist syndicalist. Fascism was not opposed to good, honest-to-God religion. Religion is a man's private affair, and fascism kept out of religious questions, only asking in return that the churches did not interfere in politics. Fascism has always been an intensely spiritual movement, and so it is natural that it has attracted the support of millions of the religious and finds common cause with religion.
Tuned in to Radio Stormer on the DailyStormer.com.
Christ, Nietzsche, and Caesar by Oswald Mosley, being given from a speech to the English-speaking Union in 1933. Our opponents allege that fascism has no historic background or philosophy, and it is my task this afternoon to suggest that fascism has roots deep in history and has been sustained by some of the finest flights of the speculative mind. I am, of course, aware that not much philosophy attaches to our activities in the columns of the Daily Press. However, I trust you will believe that those great mirrors of the public mind do not always give a very accurate reflection, and while you only read of the more stirring moments of our progress, yet there are other moments which have some depth in thought and constructive conception. I believe that fascist philosophy can be expressed in intelligible terms, and while it makes an entirely novel contribution to the thought of this age, it can yet be shown to derive both its origin and its historic support from the established thought of the past. The first instance, I suggest, that most philosophies of action are derived from a synthesis of cultural conflicts in a previous period. Where in an age of culture, of thought, of abstract speculation, you find two great cultures in sharp antithesis, you usually find, in the following age, some synthesis in practice between those two sharp antitheses, which leads to a practical creed of action. I would suggest to you that in the last century, the major intellectual struggle arose from the tremendous impact of Nietzschean thought on the Christian civilization of 2,000 years. That impact was only very slowly realized. Its full implications are only today working themselves out. But, turn where you will, in modern thought, you find the results of that struggle for mastery of the mind and the spirit of man. I am not myself stating the case against Christianity, because I am going to show you how I believe the Nietzschean and the Christian doctrines are capable of synthesis. On the one hand, you find in fascism, taken from Christianity, taken directly from the Christian conception, the immense vision of service, of self-abnegation, of self-sacrifice in the cause of others, in the cause of the world, in the cause of your country, not the elimination of the individual so much as a fusion of the individual in something far greater than himself. And you have that basic doctrine of fascism, service, self-surrender, to what the fascist must conceive to be the greatest cause and the greatest impulse in the world. On the other hand, you find taken from Nietzschean thought the virility, the challenge to all existing things which impede the march of mankind, the absolute abnegation of the doctrine of surrender, the firm ability to grapple with and to overcome all obstructions. You have, in fact, the creation of a doctrine of men of vigour and of self-help, which is the other outstanding characteristic of fascism. At the moment of a great world crisis, a crisis which in the end will inevitably deepen, a movement emerges from a historic background which makes its emergence inevitable, carrying certain traditional attributes derived from a very glorious past, but facing the facts of today, armed with the instruments which only this age has ever conferred upon mankind. By this new and wonderful coincidence of instrument and of event, the problems of the age can be overcome, and the future can be assured in a progressive stability. Possibly, this is the last great wave of the immortal, the eternally recurring Caesarian movement, but with the aid of science and with the inspiration of the modern mind, this wave shall carry humanity to the further shore.